This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us. We're watching and monitoring across the country as more of these protests pop up. And it's something that we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show. I can't bring myself to call them pro-Palestinian protests because that's not really at the end of the day what they are supporting. And if you've paid attention to what's going on in the Middle East right now, you know that Hamas attacked Israel in the most gruesome, disgusting possible way on October 7th. And then went and hid behind the people of Gaza and then tried to make Israel the bad guy. Iran attacks Israel after that. We know Hezbollah is waiting in the wings as well. And everybody wants to look at Israel and ask him to be the bigger party here. And in the meantime, we see protests all across the country chanting things like from the river to the sea, chanting things like we are Hamas. This is really going on in America right now, which brings me to the question, what do these protesters actually want? What does victory look like for these protesters? We're going to ask our next guest that. Joy Murdoch joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. He's got a piece in The Spectator on this as well. Joy, welcome back. Always good to have you.
Great to talk to you, Annie.
Let me ask you that question. What does victory look like to the people at Columbia, NYU, all over the country right now at these protests?
That's a good question. You know, some of them don't really want anything beyond, or at least they don't say they don't want anything beyond universities divesting from their stock portfolios any companies that do business with Israel or that provide, I assume, weapons to Israel Defense Forces, that kind of thing. And then you have people who go beyond that, the people who say things like, we are Hamas pig, folks who yell at Jewish students, go back to Poland. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. As far as I can tell, those people have no interest in the existence of Israel and want to see it wiped out. And I assume that means that all the Jews there will either be subject to mass deportation or they'll just be killed. So some of them may want to see some amount of divestment, and other people want to go even further and see the destruction of Israel, if not the destruction of the Israeli people as well.
Is there a natural conclusion to this? Because I think back to the last time we had a presidential campaign and we spent a whole summer tearing down our cities, burning down our cities, protesting in the streets. And I kind of feel like that didn't resolve a problem in the end. They just seemed to fizzle out at some point, I guess, when they became no longer politically advantageous. I don't know that this really feels the same as 2020, but I don't know what the natural conclusion of these protests might be.
I'm not sure what the conclusion is. I mean, universities like Columbia roll over and play dead, apparently they're negotiating with the protesters. What's the negotiation? Say, look, you got 10 minutes to pack up your tent and clear the lawn and go back to class. We're going to get the NYPD in here. We're going to kick you out of your tents, shred the tents right before you. And if your students are expelled, and if you're foreign citizens, you're deported. Any questions? I mean, you got to clamp down on these people like this. But instead, the NYPD arrested these folks, to their credit. Or Alvin Bragg, the same guy who's busy crucifying Donald J. Trump, is busy doing that. He then turns around and lets these demonstrators and frankly, terror sympathizers, sets them free so they go back and, you know, create more chaos and mayhem. The university administrator has said, well, we're going to go to Zoom school now because, you know, it's just not safe here. So we're not going to bother having in-class learning. We're going to go back to Zoom school as if we were back in the COVID days. So that kind of weakness just emboldens these people to spread their nonsense and their poison to even more campuses and just try to spread the mayhem and pandemonium from the Golden Gate all the way to Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, we listened to the president respond to, he's always being asked questions about this. He very rarely answers them, at least coherently. This is one of the things he said about the protests. Let's listen in.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
What is President Biden trying to do with that statement when everybody sees what's going on these college campuses, the people who are not welcome to participate in the campuses they're paying tuition to be present at? What is Joe Biden saying?
Well, he's trying to do a couple of things. One is he's trying to have it both ways and say, well, he's on the side of the Jewish students who are being deprived of their educational opportunities, and of course, the civil rights. But at the same time, he's on the side of the Palestinians who, deserve a fair shake, et cetera, et cetera. What he's trying to do there is try to maximize, at least in his mind, his political viability by trying to be warm enough to Jews so they don't abandon him, and also seem to be on the side of Palestinians so that he can win Dearborn, Michigan. And I assume he hopes win Michigan and its electoral votes, and exactly what he's doing. What he's really doing by such a weak comment like that is kind of ducking and hiding. You know, if these had been black students and people had had a bunch of KKK people saying to the black students, go back to Africa, you know, go back to the plantations, what have you, you wouldn't get a little passing comment like the one you played where he was kind of walking from the podium back to his limousine. He would be in the Oval Office giving a national address denouncing this, saying that the attorney general himself is going to fly up to New York City with about 50 or 100 FBI agents to look into the deprivation of civil rights of the black students. And if Columbia didn't crack down on this at once, there would be investigations of any complicity on the part of Columbia. I imagine their tax exempt status might come into question, as would any federal grants to Columbia for research or anything else. And he'd probably have the entire cabinet working on this, you know, drop whatever you're doing and get up to Columbia and, you know, make sure you stand with the black students. So these are just Jews. So they're just Jews. So who cares? So, you know, what does he do? He just has this little kind of offhand comment. No big deal. Who cares? And Chuck Schumer's lips have been sealed. Democrats, for the most part, have not said very much about this. To Speaker Mike Johnson's credit, he's going to be meeting with the Jewish students this afternoon. If any luck, President Trump will do this as well. You're seeing Republicans actually showing some leadership on this, but on the part of the Democrats, they're being nice and quiet because they don't want to do anything that's going to upset Muslim or Arab voters, because that might cost them a victory in Dearborn, Michigan. If that happens, they might lose Michigan. If they lose Michigan, they might lose the White House. So yeah, these guys are looking at strictly in terms of electoral votes and nothing else. And that, to me, is completely morally vacuous.
Dory, do you feel like when you're watching these protesters, and, you know, there's always going to be a core group of people participating in a protest like this, super passionate people. They have a worldview that may very much so differ than yours or mine. Very passionate about it, though. And then there are other people. There's almost an industry behind these types of protests. And it's kind of like what uniform or what jersey are we putting on this morning? And so you get your signs and you head out with your tents and whatever it is that you're going to use to bang on whatever it is you're going to use to bang. Do you feel like disruption is the purpose here? Do you feel like political sway is the purpose here? Because I don't know that what's going on across the country is politically advantageous to the party where the sum total of all of those people involved on both sides of this issue tend to be more left-leaning.
I think there's some of that. I mean, I think there's sort of a permanent protest industry. You'll notice that the signs these people have been, are carrying are not the usual kind of things where you see people go to Office Depot or Home Depot and, or wherever it is and pick up some cardboard and some markers and make your own little, you know, homemade do-it-yourself sign. These are printed. They're gorgeous. I saw on TV the other day stacks of these, and you could go and pick up whichever already printed sign you want. This is obviously done professionally. There's a lot of money behind this. George Soros, the sort of, you know, real life James Bond villain of our era, he's put about $650,000, if not more, into this whole effort. And so I think that these are protesters who are professional agitators. And as you say, it's Palestine today, it's transgender tomorrow, it's some union thing the next day. And I think there are people, as you say, who just go from protest to protest to protest. And this is what I guess they kind of do for a living. I've also heard that this is kind of a big social deal, you know, the same kind of several thousand or several hundred protesters pop up and their pals. And this is, you know, you and I might, go to barbecue with our friends or go out to the movies or whatever we do for fun. Kind of what they do for fun is protest. And so this is like their big social circle. So there's that additional aspect to it. And as you say, it's like, okay, what is the cause today? And what's the chant? And they just pick it up and roll forward with the outrage.
Well, we're speaking with Dorie Murdoch right now, as a Fox News contributor, also nationally syndicated columnist. You have a piece in Newsmax right now, and you say Democrats have plotted to keep Trump off the campaign trail. I would almost say to that Democrats have redefined the campaign trail, which is kind of what your article is about here. What do you think with all of these protests being in New York City? President Trump is in New York City. Is this an opportunity to turn some pretty sour lemons into some lemonade for the Trump campaign?
I think that's really the case. I mean, he's unfortunately, because of Alvin Bragg, our soft on crime DA, and this Judge Juan Merchan, who's completely conflicted with his daughter, who's a major Democrat activist. Trump is tied up in this court case. He's going to the trial will take place Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, with Wednesdays off, and he'll be in court all day long. But he's got his evenings free. He's got his Wednesdays free. And what Trump ought to do is use the opportunity to do it kind of like what he did last week up in Harlem, where he showed up at a bodega to show solidarity with the bodega owners who are suffering so much from crime and shoplifting and all that. He had all these people yelling, "Four more years. We love Trump. Trump is great." Singing the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner. It was a huge success to see a Republican show up in Harlem and just be, you know, welcomed and cheered and honored. He ought to go elsewhere in New York City. I think he ought to go to the Chabad Lubavitch in Brooklyn, which is an Orthodox Jewish center, and show his solidarity with the Jews and with Israel. Staten Island is a big Republican stronghold, which he actually won. He ought to do a rally there. I think I ought to go to Long Island and have a sit down and have some kind of a meeting with the families and survivors and victims of MS-13, the illegal alien violent gang, which has killed a lot of people in Long Island, including beheading people, believe it or not. He can hop on his helicopter, fly to take his chopper down to Bucks County, Pennsylvania, or to Philadelphia or the main line, and talk to people there, particularly suburban voters, about things like how to stop squatting, how to reduce crime, how to you go to Philadelphia, talk about school choice. You can hop on his jet, go up to New Hampshire, where they've got four electoral votes, not many, but, you know, if you're 266 and you get New Hampshire, that puts you at 270. So just because he's in court all day long doesn't mean that he can't spend his late afternoons and evenings campaigning. And the more he does that, the less he'll look like a prisoner of the New York injustice system, and more like his own man who's able to operate outside of the courtroom and appeal to voters. And that'll look great on television, especially with Biden, you know, kind of more or less stuck between, essentially for the most part, between the White House and his mansions in Delaware. And that sort of split screen, I think, will be very much to Trump's advantage. So I hope he takes advantage of the afternoons and evenings and uses those to get back on the campaign trail.
I agree with you. I think that if the Democrats have tried to keep Trump off that campaign trail, if they've tried to reset the battlefield, that they might end up regretting the move that they made so dramatically to put Donald Trump in the place that he is right now. We'll see how the Trump campaign is capable of handling it. Dorie, we always appreciate you. Thank you for being with us today.
You bet, Annie. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. Dori Murdoch is a nationally syndicated columnist and a Fox News contributor with us here on The Annie Frye Show. When we come back, we're going to speak with Mahek Cook. She is a Trump campaign surrogate. She's an attorney. We're going to talk to her about the Trump campaign and that position, a little bit of what we were speaking there with Dori. We're going to pick it right up with somebody who is going to join us to speak from the Trump campaign. She's also a Fox News commentator. So stick around. Let's talk to Mahek when we come back. Don't go away.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
You know, sometimes President Biden just makes the job so freaking simple. There was a time where I was like, gosh, I feel sorry for the old man. I don't want to. Oh, no, I'm playing these things. If you want to vote for this guy, you got to know that he doesn't know up from down. And I think a lot of people are figuring that out pretty rapidly as we approach the election in November. Let's bring out our next guest. I'm excited to have Mahek Cook on the show with us, a Trump campaign surrogate and attorney, Fox News commentator. You can learn more about her at MahekCook.com. Mahek, thank you for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on with you.
Of course. Let me ask you the first question, because a lot of people couldn't believe it was going to be Biden and Trump again this November for very different reasons. People don't believe that Joe Biden has the wits about him to continue to do this job. What's the Trump campaign going to do to continue to prove that point, if they even have to step in to do that, as we move towards the election?
You know, I think that Joe Biden and his campaign are just continuing to self-implode, and we don't have to do anything on the Trump campaign except for reach the American people and continue to expose the truth about what's happening in our country, from the immigration crisis to inflation, and really speak to voters directly, not use mainstream media, go to groups like yours to say this is what's happening in our country and expose the lies by Biden. But every time he opens his mouth, like just earlier today, where he read a teleprompter and said pause instead of actually knowing what he's supposed to be saying, he's just going to self-implode here, Annie.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one. I'm going to need to now. Mahek Cook with us right now with the Trump campaign. You're an attorney. I am not. I don't play one on the radio. I try to have experts on, even like yourself, to talk to us about the lawfare that's taking place here. What are your thoughts about the campaign battlefield set by the Biden administration to put Donald Trump in the courtroom as potentially a campaign strategy? Is that what we're seeing here?
It is. And unfortunately for the Biden camp, this lawfare is backfiring. And you've heard this over and over again, this two-tiered weaponization of the legal system. And you don't have to be an attorney. You don't need a law degree. You just have to see what's happening in our country today. You have the foremost GOP contender, President Trump, running for president, and the Biden camp has done everything to hamstring him. They've gone after his businesses. You saw that by Tish James in New York, trying to not only muzzle Trump through a gag order, trying to stop Trump's family from making money, but then also try and prevent President Trump from earning a living. Now you're seeing what's happening in this new court case in New York, where there is a gag order by a judge that is biased. I mean, he's clearly allowing Michael Cohen, who's a serial perjurer, to continue to go out there and speak about the president. And what is this case about? It's not hush money. It's truly about a business record, and that's a simple misdemeanor. But this is all backfiring because Americans are scratching their head and wondering, why is the president locked up in a New York courtroom where, by the way, the temperature is freezing, according to him, and he can't be on the campaign trail where he belongs talking to voters? So he's taken to the streets of New York, and we get to see him and hear from him firsthand.
Mehek Cook with us right now. She is a Trump campaign surrogate and attorney as well. I think about the message around this very important part of the campaign of what the Biden administration is doing to Donald Trump. But one of the main questions, I think, that the deciding factor of this 2024 election is going to be about what these candidates are going to do for the American people, and in some cases, what they're going to do to the American people. What's the stark contrast between the Biden way and the MAGA way? We've heard Joe Biden say today multiple times in his unity speech about how getting this $95 billion package through was a proof that we can come together and do what it takes to get the job done. And in the same breath, trying to insult MAGA Republicans. What's the difference for the American voter, taxpayer, constituent in what Biden has to offer those American people and Donald Trump?
Well, I think what you're seeing today is 40-year highest inflation, and you have to ask yourself, why are we here? It's truly because of Joe Biden's policies that have put America last. He stopped oil and gas drilling on our land, and what does that mean? That means now our gas prices are up. The Keystone Pipeline pause was devastating. Not only thousands of employees lost their jobs, but now we're seeing it at the grassroots level. Whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, when you go pump that gas, you are paying more today than ever before. Let's talk about grocery prices. Let's talk about gas prices. Let's talk about baby food formula. So as you continue to see what's happening in our economy, the facts speak for themselves. Then we look at immigration. 11 million illegal immigrants have come to our country. And not only is that a travesty in and of itself, but look at what's happening. Soft on crime policies. There are so many individuals today, Annie, that have lost their lives at the hands of illegal immigrants. Look at what happened to Lakin Riley, our Georgia student. This is the first time I can tell you, as an attorney sitting back, this could have been prevented. Mm. These crimes against Americans, the fentanyl overdose that is up the highest it's ever been in history, all of these deaths, it's the number one killer of Americans today. It could have been prevented. But Joe Biden's in charge, and he has continued to allow not only our economy just run rampant in terms of not being able for an average American to afford what they used to be able to afford, and now we fear for our safety. And all I tell voters today is, were you better off 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And they say yes.
It's a simple question to answer. I think a lot of people have a pretty quick way to answer it. Trump campaign surrogate Mehek Cook with us right now. You can go to MehekCook.com to learn more about Mehek. I think about Joe Biden seems to really feel that I always refer to him as Joe Biden's cue cards, because I'm pretty sure he's just reading and not even well at that. But Joe Biden's cue cards seem to really feel like that phrase MAGA Republican is a winner for the Biden campaign. The Republican Party has different segments to it. I think the Democrat Party has a huge problem on their hands about the segmentation of what they're dealing with over there. But the Republicans Party, we're the big tent party. We have to come together and understand how to make this work in a big, big way in November. What is a MAGA Republican? And does MAGA Republican want to expand and broaden and bring in other GOPers to the tent?
Look, I consider myself somebody who wants to make America great again. And what the left liberal elites like Biden are doing is making MAGA a negative word. Let me tell you, it's the most positive place you can be today if you want our country to thrive and prosper. And what Republicans can do, all Republicans, is come together, coalesce, and our first mission to be is to ensure that President Trump gets elected in November. That needs to be the mission. And we need to fight against the lawfare that's happening in the court system. And then the other thing is election interference. Not only is it happening in the court system where Biden has weaponized district attorneys to go after President Trump, but they're going after our elections. Where do you think these illegal immigrants are going to end up on election day? They're getting documentation. They're going to be able to vote in many states because most states aren't asking for proof of citizenship. So we have a lot of issues on our hands. And if the Republican Party thinks that we need to be divided rather than united, that will lead to our destruction. The strongest we can be is for all of us to realize that we have a country to save and that we are on the brink of a national security crisis, World War III, and so many other devastating things that are happening today in our families. Our moral compass has been eroded by these liberals. We need to get back to reality and back to our principles. And that starts with communicating with one another and realizing that President Trump is the way out of this disaster.
Do you feel as though President Trump is ready to not necessarily reach out, but open arms for those people who haven't had the stomach for Donald Trump before? They maybe were middle to left of center, but center nonetheless. They can look at where our country is headed right now. They know Joe Biden is an absolute disaster and that Kamala Harris is waiting in the wings and would be as bad, if not worse. Do you feel as though this president is ready to have the arms wide open to welcome people who maybe wouldn't have considered him for whatever particular reason before to say, come on in, the water's fine?
Well, I've seen President Trump welcome every single one of those GOP contenders in the presidential with open arms. All these contenders had to do was say, I stand with President Trump. I'm going to honor my commitment and I'm going to ensure that he wins that White House. So I think he's had a track record of saying, join me. Mm-hmm. And the ones that aren't joining, honestly, between you and me and all of your viewers, it is only for their political gain, and shame on them, because the big picture is American democracy and making sure that we do right by the American people. If anybody is turning their back on America today and President Trump, it is just for sheer politics. It is not for the betterment of our country.
Yeah, I think that the segmentation of the political parties leading up to this point has been for a lot of personal gain, but we are getting to the point where we have to figure out how to fortify our country, how to win back our country and to rebuild our country and maybe, I guess, make it great again, what one might say. Donald Trump will be in New York City for this trial, and he spent some time at, you know, the bodegas in New York City and Harlem, in other places. Will he be able to get to those swing states where this election will be decided enough to win the people over, enough people to get outside of the margin of manipulation to win those important states?
You know, that's a great question. And I think that any minute that President Trump hasn't been in trial because trial hasn't been scheduled or it's been delayed, the president has been in swing states. But look, his record speaks for itself. We're continuing to suffer in many of these swing states. And Joe Biden has lost his base. He's lost Black voters because they're working, just like every other American, harder than ever before. And you know what voters say to me today? They say, I was better off 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he has lost the Black voter base. He has lost the Hispanic base. They call him a liar. Joe Biden has not kept a single promise. So Biden is hemorrhaging voters, and President Trump and the team and Republicans are welcoming them, because this is truly the party that is going to be open arms for opportunity, open arms for the American dream. And every single voter is starting to see that.
Mehak Cook, thank you for being with us today. We'd love to have you back as this campaign continues on. Every day that passes is a very important day, closer to where we actually get to go make that, I guess, election season start, since it's not just a day anymore. So we appreciate your insight. We look forward to welcoming you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. She is a Trump campaign surrogate and attorney, Fox News commentator. You can find her online at Mehak Cook. That's Cook with an E at the end, MehakCook.com. Excited to have her on and get the Trump campaign perspective on the current situation. We're going to take a quick break. Let's talk about that YouTube live chat poll when we come back. How are protests affecting the Democratic Party? Is it increasing support, decreasing support, or there's no change? Just protests, just things happening in places that are full of Democrats. Could it possibly have no change? We'd love to know what you think about it on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat right now. It's on the live broadcast on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Let us know what your thoughts are on that poll. We'll read some of your comments as well when we come back. Don't go away.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There's so much going on right now, and it kind of all revolves around the, I feel like it's all tethered to what's going on in the Middle East to in some way, shape, or form. I am very, I just feel like I don't have the patience for these types of protests right now, and I don't know that I had that in 2020. It just feels different to me to watch what grew out of the George Floyd situation here versus what is being done in our American institutions and in our American streets right now for something that's going on overseas. I mean, here's Ilhan Omar in, and you know, I understand that, well, she's a congresswoman. It matters. Listen to what she had to say.
It's been incredibly painful for the last 5 days to see the discovery, while there is a discovery of a mass grave of more than 200 Palestinians in Khan Yunus, that our media, our elected politicians, our president, every single leader is spending their time and energy in talking about the protests as if you all are not here to give voice to the genocide that is taking place in Gaza.
I mean, it's just not the whole story. There are terrible things happening over in the Middle East. These are the same people who would tell us, like, if there were terrible things happening to people they didn't like, to tell us to keep our American tax dollars off of the issue. Ilhan Omar's daughter was arrested at one of these protests. Here's Charlie Hurt on the
Could issue. You be more of a privileged person than someone who grows up in America, the daughter of a sitting congressperson? You could not be more privileged. You could not have more access to information. More, you're going to one of the most prestigious universities in the country. You have access to knowledge, and yet you reject it and make it all about yourself, and it's all performance, and then you wind up supporting a terrorist, or openly supporting a terrorist organization against Jews. And of course, the net result is, you know, at a time when, you know, universities seem to care so much about safe spaces, and I think a lot of it is kind of lunacy, but the, you know, where are the safe spaces that universities care so much about for Jewish students?
It's a great question, because it's certainly not on campus, so much so that they had to go to remote learning. Can you imagine paying the, like, Columbia tuition dollars
oh
and being
gosh.
Like, you're going to learn from your dorm room. Just stay in there. You're safer in there because you're Jewish. What happened when we were facing the possibility that Donald Trump could win the presidency in 2016? And I mean, like, let's be honest. We didn't think he was going to win. Nobody thought he was going to win. They were the cackling of the people when, like, was it the New York Times or something? There was like a 99% chance that Hillary Clinton, a 99% chance. And then Donald Trump pulls off the win of the century. And I mean, it was not a resounding victory. It's very close. It's not like his 2016 was a mandate so much as it was a, we are not interested in Hillary Clinton. So much so, we're willing to take a chance on that guy. The same guy that you told us had a pee tape in Russia. The same guy that you told us was going to get us into World War III. Just like that, should we elect Donald Trump, he's going to be wild and crazy. He's not going to be able to keep his mouth shut, and he's going to run it off and pop off to all these world leaders. We're going to be in World War III before you know it. Everything's going to implode upon itself, and we're going to be living in an utter destruction. Fast forward to 2024. Hello? Do you feel safe right now? Do you feel like the American government's firmly got hands at 10 and 2 or 9 and 3, whatever they teach now, and is driving this car down the road to its destination? I don't think that you do either. Now, you might look at the other guy and go, no, I'm not interested in Trump. There's nothing there that is of interest to me. You cannot possibly think, though, that 4 more years of Joe Biden is, I mean, even to suggest that it would be healthy for this country. It's going to be a continued disaster for this country. And there's, we're going to have to get the shovel out and dig to get lower, but I'm pretty sure they will find a taxpayer fund to get those shovels and to do the digging. It's a disaster. And if you listen to what Ilhan Omar said there at the beginning, she's talking about criticism of her own Democrat elected officials and leaders and politicians and the president of the United States. This is not good for the Democrat Party in November, which is kind of a curt way to talk about it. Like, oh, what does this mean for the election? There are world implications that far, far, far supersede an election in November because the tensions are so high and the weapons are so hot. However, I do look at what Ilhan Omar is doing and the weight that she has in places like Michigan that would dramatically affect the outcome of this election. So the YouTube live chat poll for today is, how are protests affecting the Democratic Party? You have 3 options: increasing support, decreasing support, or no change. Brad, what do you think?
Man, this one's so tough, but I had to go with decreasing support. I think that these protesters, I don't know how much they're decreasing it, but I think these protesters are harming the Democrat Party because people don't want to be blocked off when they're on their way into work. They don't want to see what looks like entitled, privileged college kids whose tuition the Joe Biden administration is actively trying to pay off with our tax dollars. They don't want to see these kids out, not in class, and protesting. They want to see them in class. They don't want to see classes canceled and people going to Zoom learning because these people are throwing a tantrum. Yeah, I don't think that people really like what they're seeing from that, and that's hurting them.
Katie says decreasing support because everyday people are fed up with the protests causing them difficulty. Ender says no change. If anything, it's tearing the party up apart a bit. An anti-Israel message is harmful, but though the Democrat Party won't commit to it, it won't be enough for people to leave. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, unlike Brad, I didn't have trouble with this one at all. Although we came to the same conclusion, I do believe that this is decreasing support. It's just not, even if you're not affected, you're not stopped on a bridge by the protests or you haven't been directly affected, you see it. I mean, this is something that pretty much everybody in America knows is happening. And when major donors are pulling their money, who aren't even conservatives, from these liberal bastions, institutions that have been indoctrinating people for the left forever, and they're saying, look, this is too far, that's an indication to me that all of what we're watching is kind of a media sensation, that the protesters themselves are doing it to get attention, and that it is backfiring. It is just not going the way they want.
Doug says, protests won't change a thing. The key principle they all have is never Trump. They'll argue with each other, but not on that point. Kenton says, protests are affecting the Dems. They're starting to see liberals attacking liberals. Crackhead Barney was attacking Alec Baldwin. When I read this, I was like, Crackhead Barney, I don't like name call. That's really what she goes.
Yeah, she goes.
Kenton is just being accurate. Was attacking Alec Baldwin. Both are liberals. Their agendas are shooting themselves in the foot. I don't know if that was a pun. Anyway, I have a hard time thinking. I definitely don't think it's increasing support for the Democrat. There's nothing here for somebody who doesn't already attach, associate, tether themselves to the Democrat Party. There's nothing attractive about what's going on for somebody who has ever voted, you know, some Democrats, some Republicans, I'll vote both sides, depends on the issue, depends on the race, blah, blah, blah. If you're that person, you're not looking at this going, oh, well, that seals the deal for me. I'm all in on this protest stuff. If anything, those people who are kind of in the middle of the road voters, I think the thing they, I don't know, I'm just saying this off the top of my head, but I feel like the thing they would have the most in common is probably an isolationist type of a mentality, where if you're in the middle of the road, I think the thing that pulls you to the right to even be anywhere near the middle is probably fiscal. There are not many people who are like super progressive and lib on fiscal issues, but like super socially conservative. Those people, do those people exist?
No.
I don't know them. And in fact, they'd be confused.
Yeah, on 30 Rock, there was a joke that Liz Lemon was dating the guy who plays Mayhem on those TV commercials. And she asked him, well, what's your position politically? And he said, I'm a social conservative fiscal liberal.
Yeah.
it was funny because, yeah, nobody.
Yeah, that's funny. That's exactly the point that I'm trying to make. And, you know, if you're somebody who has some progressive liberal thoughts and some conservative thoughts, you probably want the Republicans handling the wallet and the Democrats handling the social issues. And I think that there are, I mean, unfortunate for me because I'm conservative on both issues, I think that that might be the biggest bucket of voters that exists. Conservatives, the Republicans handling the money, and the Democrats handling the social issues. I also don't think that you can do both of those things at the same time. But if you are that person who's kind of middle of the road, trying to support some of what's going on, I mean, maybe sending money to Ukraine and sending money to Israel and sending money to the Indo-Pacific or whatever it was, that's not like high on your list of what you want to have done with your tax dollars, supporting all of these foreign conflicts or picking sides in these foreign conflicts, or in some cases picking both sides in these foreign conflicts, is not something that you really are going to invest in. The only way that I can see it being no change is because of what the commenter said about the Trump factor. The idea that your position on Donald Trump predicates everything that you think and do politically. And I do believe that this The steady march of court cases that Donald Trump is facing will cause people to question their never Trump status more than other things. There's no policy that's going to come into play that's going to make people go, well, I've had a major change of heart. People would have to open their minds to finding out the real Donald Trump, not the one that the mainstream media has tried to push in front of your face. And it's before he won the 2016 election. People would have to open their minds to consider that what they have been told this whole time about Donald Trump isn't actually true. Now, I do think it's possible that you could open your mind and consider the fact that what you've been sold and told about Donald Trump is not actually true. You could find out more about Donald Trump that is actually true, and there still will be unsavory things that you don't like. So maybe in the end, you open your mind and you're like, this is still not my guy. There's no way that you couldn't do the exact same thing for Joe Biden or any other politician that rises to the level of a presidential candidacy. There are going to be unsavory things about every single broken, sinful individual who tries to find themselves in a position to become the president of the United States. Yeah, you have been lied to so consistently, passionately lied to about Donald Trump. And I challenge you. There are so many of you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of unfair treatment, even professionally, where people have lied and tried to deceive about you. You know what it's like. It's not as big of a scale as the TDS scale, but you know what it's like. It kind of changes your attitude about things. It puts a chip on your shoulder. And Donald Trump has the biggest one there is. Broad shoulders, too, I might add. Come vote on the YouTube live chat poll. We're going to talk about death. When we come back, don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.